This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, the Durham District Attorney's Office will be seeking the death penalty against 46-year-old Craig Stephen Hicks. A traffic stop led to an arrest of a Chapel Hill man on outstanding warrants from Durham and Orange counties.
Looked like he had several warrants for failure to appear.
And according to a recent public policy polling survey, recent questions about the credibility of NBC News anchor Brian Williams following revelations of apparent war story fabrications haven't done much to hurt the public's perception of NBC News. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the number 19-ranked North Carolina men's basketball team is on the road tonight in Atlanta for a rematch with Georgia Tech. And
how did Duke go a whole year knowing about Rashid Suleiman?
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07, 37 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's actually warmed up a couple of degrees, and that's supposed to be as warm as we get all day. Our high today is supposed to be in the middle 30s. It's going to be cloudy, slight chance of rain or drizzle, or freezing rain or freezing drizzle this morning, and then in the afternoon, more of the same on the way. But again, temperatures holding steady in the middle 30s, and that will go for tonight as well. Our temperatures remaining in the middle 30s. Tomorrow, we're going all the way up to 70 degrees, so the temperatures will double. The Durham District Attorney's Office will be seeking the death penalty against 46-year-old Craig Stephen Hicks. WCHL has confirmed. Here is Blake Hodge.
Hicks is accused of shooting and killing three Muslim college students, 23-year-old Dea Barakat, his 21-year-old wife, Yusur Abu Salah, and her 19-year-old sister, Razan Abu Salah, on February 10th in the Findlay Forest condos in Chapel Hill. Candy Clark is the administrative assistant at the Durham County District Attorney's Office. She says the notice of intent to seek the death penalty was filed on February 25th. Clark adds that the Rule 24 hearing will likely be held the week of April 6th. That consideration is a hearing before a judge in first-degree murder cases. The purpose is to determine whether the state will officially be seeking the death penalty in that particular case. Preliminary investigations from Chapel Hill Police point to an ongoing parking dispute as the motive of the shooting, but there is some belief that the shooting was motivated by religious tensions between Hicks and the three Muslim students. The FBI has opened a parallel inquiry into the incident to determine if the shooting was a hate crime. Law enforcement officials say that Hicks was cooperative in the early portions of the investigation after turning himself in to authorities in Chatham County the night of the shooting. No inmates have been executed in the state of North Carolina since August of 2008. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A traffic stop led to an arrest of a Chapel Hill man on outstanding warrants from Durham and Orange counties. Lieutenant Josh Meesemore with the Chapel Hill Police Department says 35-year-old Saeed Blake was arrested on Sunday after getting pulled over.
It was a traffic stop. The officer smelled marijuana when they approached the vehicle, initiated a canine check of the vehicle, and I guess in running the names of the person in the car, found this Blake subject.
Meesemore adds that Blake had multiple outstanding warrants.
Frequently, people get served just when you kind of come across them, and so it looks like this must have been the first time that he has had an encounter with police during that time. Looked like he had several warrants for failure to appear.
The Orange County charges stem from warrants issued back in January of 2007 for assault by strangulation and one count of communicating threats. Later in 2007, warrants for Blake's arrest were issued in Durham County for failing to appear on simple possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia charges. Blake was being held in the Orange County jail and secured bond totaling $4,000 from the separate incidents as of last update. He also has separate court dates in Orange and Durham counties for each crime. Recent questions about the credibility of NBC News anchor Brian Williams following revelations of apparent war story fabrications haven't really done much to hurt the public's perception of NBC News. That's according to a recent public policy polling survey. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
PVP's annual TV news poll is evenly divided this year when it comes to NBC News. 40% of respondents say they trust the network's coverage, while 40% say they don't. Last year, the responses ran about the same, 39 to 39. Here's PPP Director Tom Jensen.
Just like everything these days, voters are polarizing about it across party lines. Overall, voters pretty evenly divided. 39% say Williams should be able to keep his job. 36% say he should be let go. But when you break that down by party, Democrats pretty sympathetic towards Williams by a pretty strong margin. And then you look at Republicans. Republicans say he should be fired.
It's not just issues such as abortion and gay marriage that polarize voters these days, according to Jensen. Now we can add our TV news choices to that list. This year, as in past years, Fox News is both the most trusted and the least trusted source of news in the nation.
Republicans said that they trusted Fox News, and they said they didn't trust a single other thing that we polled on. Every single one of the major networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, fewer than 25% of Republicans trust. Then when you look at Democrats, they trust everything except Fox News.
The most trusted news network among Democrats by a narrow margin is CNN at 21%. PBS comes in second at 18%. Overall, the only news outlet that a majority of Americans say they trust is PBS by 52%. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Chapel Hill residents could vote in November on whether to approve $40 million in bond financing to fund some of the town's high-priority projects. WCHL's Jugmeet Mack has the story.
At Monday night's town council meeting, Ken Penoyer, business management director for Chapel Hill, said the town's high-priority capital projects over the next 10 years include building a new police headquarters and replacing fire stations for a combined cost of $30 million. Town officials also want to spend $6 million in stormwater improvements and replace 40 aging buses, which will cost $21 million. In addition to the bond financing, Penoyer proposed using $50 million of installment financing to fund some of these projects. For example, Chapel Hill could borrow money from a local bank to pay for some buses and pay off the debt in installments over a number of years. This doesn't require a referendum. Here's Penoyer.
Again, the main difference between the two is the security. General obligation bonds are backed by the full faith and credit of the town. Installment financings are backed by an asset, one that is considered essential to the town's function.
Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said the council should advocate for bond financing. If approved, he said, it could save residents money. Here's Penoyer again.
Each of the suggested bond orders would be a separate vote.
Those separate votes would be on financing the following projects: streets and sidewalks, trails and greenways, recreational facilities, solid waste facility, and stormwater improvements. On March 23rd at Chapel Hill Town Hall, the town council will finalize a referendum plan. That meeting's at 7 p.m. Chapel Hill officials are scheduled to work out details of the bond funding over the next couple months and hold a public hearing in June. Jugmeet Mack, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orange County Commissioners will discuss a possible bond referendum plan for 2016 when the board meets tonight. Board members are considering putting a $125 million bond to the ballot next year to pay for school repairs, affordable housing, and other county needs. County staffers say commissioners could fund the projects using either a bond or pay-as-you-go funding. Both methods would require a property tax rate increase. If they decide to move forward with the bond, commissioners will likely appoint a task force to determine spending priorities. The board will meet tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Whitted Meeting Room in Hillsboro. WCHL's Jugmeet Mack will be in attendance at that meeting and will have a full report tomorrow morning here on WCHL. And the Carver Alderman will meet tonight to discuss changes to the Affordable Housing Special Revenue Fund. The fund collects payments from developers as well as other grant monies. Residents or nonprofits can apply for loans to purchase property or repair existing homes. The board will also pick a time to hold a public forum on whether Carborough police should wear body cameras. The board will meet tonight at 7:30 at Carborough Town Hall. WCHL News Time, 7:15. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. We'll start with traffic, which is brought to you by Tire Pros. And now here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looks like northbound Fordham Boulevard just starting to pick up as you approach Manning Drive. Traffic also starting to build on the Durham Freeway. Both directions still, though, in good shape between downtown and 40. And 40 eastbound also doing well. No delays from 54 out to the Durham Freeway. If you happen to see anything while you're out, you could be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363, or you can safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
This traffic brought to you by Tire Pros, proudly supporting high school baseball over 12 years. Sturdivant's Tire Pros is currently holding its spring sale located off Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill. Call 942-TIRE or visit 942TIRE.com. It's that easy. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented this morning by UNC Athletics. It is 37 degrees right now. Cloudy, slight chance of rain or drizzle or freezing rain or freezing drizzle this morning. Then rain and drizzle likely in the afternoon. Not likely to get freezing rain this morning because we're safely above freezing. But our temps are going to remain about the same pretty much all day. Our high today is supposed to be in the middle 30s. And those are going to hold steady all the way through the day and tonight as well. A chance of rain and drizzle will be continuing all the way through midnight tonight. Temperatures will actually rise a little bit after midnight, certainly into the upper 30s after midnight. Then tomorrow, we're going to have to deal with a little fog first thing in the morning. Slight chance of rain in the morning, then a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as well. A little bit breezy and much, much warmer tomorrow. High about 70 degrees, so a big change in our weather. Our temperature is basically going to double between this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon. UNC Athletics says don't miss Carolina baseball this coming weekend at Bosch Hammer Stadium as the Tar Heels host Duke this Friday at 3, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 2. Tickets are available for only $7 at GoHeels.com. Big three-game series with Duke coming this weekend. 717 WCHL. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Aaron Keck will have a story about who's responsible for sidewalks in our community. With all that snow that got dumped on the Triangle last week, local public works crews have been working around the clock to clear our roads as quickly as possible. But who takes care of the sidewalks? It's rather complicated. We'll have that story coming up for you again at the bottom of the hour. And in news around town this morning, head to Chapel in the Pines in Chatham County on Sunday for a free concert featuring the touring choir of Muskingum University. We'll be joining the Vox Verorum Men's Chorus of the Triangle for a concert with both secular and religious pieces. The concert is free, but donations will be accepted. It'll take place on Sunday at 4 p.m. at Chapel in the Pines on Great Ridge Parkway, just off Mance Chapel Road near Colvar Plaza. And congratulations to the students in Carborough High School Studio Art and Honors Visual Arts courses. They just raised $2,000 at a recent art exhibition to help support high school arts programs and help fund the local youth center. The exhibition took place at the Chapel Hill Art Gallery, and the pieces were sold in a silent auction. Every single student piece in the exhibit sold. Some of the funds will go to the Youth Coalition, which is working to build a youth center in our area. Other proceeds will go to support the art programs at all three Chapel Hill Carborough High Schools. 719 WCHL. Time now for championship sports, and we have a big basketball game to talk about tonight. Number 19, North Carolina, is on the road to take on Georgia Tech down in Atlanta. It's a rematch from not too long ago where the Tar Heels got a convincing win over the Yellow Jackets. The Jackets will be hoping to sting the Tar Heels and knock them out of a potential number 4 seed in next week's ACC tournament. WCHL's Matt Oakes takes a look at tonight's matchup in Atlanta.
UNC's final road game of the season figures to be a manageable one. After all, lowly Georgia Tech has lost three in a row, and Carolina absolutely clobbered the Rambling Wreck earlier this season in Chapel Hill, 89-60 in the famous four quarters game. The Tar Heels will hope to embark on another runaway. After all, they've struggled to close out the tight games. But UNC junior guard Marcus Page says Saturday's road win at Miami helped restore his team's late game confidence.
Well, it feels good. Like I said, we've had a lot of close battles that have you know, unfortunately gone. You know, one or two things happen and we lose. And this time we were able to make a couple corrections and just make enough winning plays to make a difference. So it feels good to be in a close game and actually come out on top.
UNC head coach Roy Williams says the 15 turnovers in South Florida were worrisome, but he liked the aggressive activity of junior forward J.P. Tokido.
I wish he'd leave out the turnovers. You know, I don't does not need to fill that stat, but I thought a couple of big-time rebounds that it was who was going to get it, who was going to get it. J.P. came up and got it. We've tried to get him to restructure what he's thinking because we played him, quote, at the two earlier and Justin Jackson at the three. And week, 2 weeks, we've made it pretty clear that he's the three man. He has got to go to the board and rebound for us, and he's done a much better job of it during that time period.
As for the foul trouble, too many whistles have been blown for Coach Williams' liking.
We do want to try to get fouled. We're leading the country, in my mind, in the number of times that we reach in and make silly fouls.
Coach Williams says he doesn't expect freshman Theo Pinson to return to the lineup Tuesday night, but he dressed out last week and appears to be getting his health back. That's good news for Tar Heel fans. Georgia Tech head coach Brian Gregory, for one, is pretty high on Carolina.
They keep doing that, you know. They're as good as anybody around. And I think coach knows that, and the players know that. And, you know, I think they're going to have a, you know, hopefully it will be after our two games, they're going to have a heck of a run.
Freshman guard Joel Berry came up with a clutch three-pointer over the weekend, but he credits the overall buy-in and effort from the teammates for getting the W.
I think we played with a lot of energy today and a lot of effort. We came out really slow against NC State and couldn't get our momentum back. I mean, we brought the game back against NC State, I think, to like four in the second half, but just today we started off with great momentum. We got a good game from Bryce Johnson and Marcus and JP. We just played together today and played with a lot of effort.
If there's one thing Georgia Tech can do, it's rebound. Coach Gregory's team is hauling in 38 per game. The offensive output on the other end is another story. UNC leads the all-time series with Georgia Tech 65-24. In fact, the Jackets haven't beaten the Heels since 2011, but McCamish Pavilion has historically been a tough venue in the ACC, and with UNC's sights firmly set on snagging a double bye in next week's conference tournament, a slip-up is not an option. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Of course, we'll have the game for you right here on WCHL, beginning with countdown to tip-off. North Carolina's football team has hired Charlton Warren as its defensive backs coach. The school announced Warren's hiring on Monday. Warren spent last season at Nebraska and before that worked at Air Force, which is his alma mater. North Carolina football coach Larry Fedora was an offensive assistant during Warren's final two seasons as a defensive back for the Falcons in 1997 and 98. Warren was the only coach retained by new Nebraska coach Mike Riley. Instead, he followed John Papuchis to North Carolina to work for new defensive coordinator Gene Chizik. He will try and improve a defense that ranked last in the Atlantic Coast Conference last season and near the bottom of the bowl subdivision, allowing 257 yards passing per game. You might want to know that Michael Jordan and two other NBA owners have joined Forbes' annual list of the world's billionaires. Forbes released its list of billionaires on Monday and noted that Jordan's net worth is estimated at $1 billion thanks to his well-timed investment in the Charlotte Hornets. Houston Rockets owner Leslie Alexander, with a net worth of $1.6 billion, and the Chicago Bulls owner Jerry Reinsdorf, worth $1.3 billion, also made that list. The net worth of NBA franchise values increased this past year after the sale of the Los Angeles Clippers to Steve Ballmer for $2 billion. The 52-year-old Michael Jordan, a Hall of Fame player who won a national championship at North Carolina, of course, and won six NBA championships with the Bulls, reached billionaire status last June, according to the magazine. This is his first year on Forbes' annual list, which typically is released in March. And clutch performances from freshman hitters lifted Coach Mike Fox and his 11th-ranked UNC baseball team to a 6-4 road win last night over the Liberty Flames in Lynchburg, Virginia. Tar Heels were able to recover from their loss on Sunday and improved to 7-3. Third baseman Logan Warmoth continued his impressive first-year campaign with an RBI single, smacked the left field right out of the gate. The hit drove in junior Landon Lassiter to give Carolina 1-0 lead. He also drew a bases-loaded walk in the bottom of the fourth for his second RBI of the game. Next up for the Tar Heels is a matchup with VCU on Wednesday as they make their return to Boshammer Stadium after playing the last seven games on the road. First pitch is set for 3 p.m. Carolina baseball. And a quick note about basketball, we'll be talking to Barry Jacobs, ACC basketball guru, about the Carolina basketball team coming up next hour on WCHL, and also talking about the upcoming ACC tournament and all of that, all that means. WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by Fitch Lumber and Hardware.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the basketball court, teamwork is what you need to take on any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. And as always, thanks for your business and continuing to make Fitch Lumber and Hardware a family tradition.
And now, brought to you by the Vapor Girl,
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
How did Duke go a whole year knowing about Rashid Suleiman? This is Archansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. A blockbuster story broke at Duke Monday when the Chronicle Campus Daily reported that two women students have accused the Smiths basketball player Rashid Suleiman of raping them in two separate incidents more than a year ago, and that everyone from Duke Athletic Director Kevin White to the entire basketball coaching staff had heard about the allegations and apparently did nothing about them. No formal charges were filed by the two women students, they said, for fear of reprisal from the Duke fan base, which includes their fellow students and Cameron Crazies. So on face value, it's just two she said versus one he said. Innocent until proven guilty, especially when no formal charges were filed, right? Well, wrong. Sexual assault against women in this country is almost a separate entity now when it comes to due process. If there's a potential rapist on the loose in the neighborhood, the police are going to pick that guy up in a heartbeat, whether or not they have any official charges or evidence. The perp might get out quickly, but not before the cops can shake him down and try to find out if what's being said about him is true. Meanwhile, the potential victims are safe. It's not exactly guilty until proven innocent, but it's close when it comes to sexual assault. And I agree with that, which makes the fact that Duke did not thoroughly investigate the allegations while Suleiman remained on the team for almost a full year, makes the school look like it did not want to believe these women. Only when two interns inside the basketball office checked out the rumors and talked to the women and then resigned over the inaction taken did the story finally come out. Sounds a little like Joe Pa in Penn State hearing something about Jerry Sandusky but not following up after passing on the info. The timing and how the matter was handled makes Duke look conspicuous on this. First of all, Mike Krzyzewski had never dismissed anyone from his program before, and Suleiman was known as being unhappy with his playing time and complaining a lot to teammates, assistant coaches, and officials during the game. So suspend the kid for a month or the rest of the season. But why kick him out of the program and let him stay in school? Maybe because Coach K knew this was above his head. It all never added up, and now with the latest revelation, Duke will have a hard time figuring out how to explain away, looking away, for a full year. This is Archansky. See ya.
Thousands of people around the country are switching from smoking to vaping. This is the Vapor Girl telling you that I turned a lifetime of chain smoking into vaping. Our customers find vaping is cleaner, healthier, and they love our hundreds of flavors that we create right here in Chapel Hill from homegrown tobacco. The Vapor Girl has everything you need to make the switch yourself. No more cigarette smell, no more cigarette butts. Visit one of the Vapor Girl retail locations in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Pittsburgh, each with a vapor bar for sampling. For more information, go to thevaporgirl.com.
When Squids opened over 20 years ago, we made a commitment to serving hot, fresh hush puppies to every table. They're really very simple, basically cornmeal and water. But when you bite into a hush puppy, you're transported to the coast. It's the perfect prelude to any seafood dish, whether it's fried oysters, grilled mahi-mahi, or fresh Maine lobster. And it's our way of welcoming you to Squids. Squids Famous Hush Puppies, the perfect start to a delicious seafood dinner.
For more than 50 years, the Kiwanis Club of Chapel Hill, Carrboro has been conducting an annual pancake jamboree to support local youth projects. This year, the jamboree is on Saturday, March the 7th from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Orange United Methodist Church on MLK Boulevard. A silent auction will be held offering great donated items. Tickets are $7, $8 at the door. For children under 6, eat free. All the pancakes, sausage, and drinks you want. Get tickets from any club member or call Clarence at 919-929-4800. Thank you, CHL, for caring about our community.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Oh, thank you very much. It's coming up on 7:30 WCHL. We have 36 degrees in Chapel Hill and 35 in Carborough. It's cloudy today. Slight chance of rain or drizzle, or freezing rain or freezing drizzle this morning. I don't know about the freezing part, because it doesn't look like we're going to get anywhere close to freezing this morning. Then a chance of rain and drizzle likely in the afternoon as well. Much cooler temperatures. Our temperatures are going to hold steady in the middle and, let's say, upper 30s, because we're in the upper 30s right now. Tonight, cloudy, rain and drizzle likely, with a chance of rain and slight chance of drizzle even after midnight. Some fog's going to roll in, and in fact, the temperatures might warm up a little bit up until close to 40 after midnight. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to have to deal with a little fog first thing in the morning, and a slight chance of rain in the morning and the afternoon. Breezy and much warmer tomorrow, with a high about 70 degrees. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, where you can fuel up with Cruisers fresh brewed beans, cafe coffee, cappuccino, and hot chocolate. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruisers. Good to go.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com.
Focus of a speech to Congress this morning. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, will give it. Here's correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Netanyahu opposes the U.S.-backed nuclear negotiations with Iran, and that has strained his relationship with President Obama, who said the speech creates the appearance of a political endorsement for Netanyahu, who is up for re-election later this month.
As a matter of policy, we think it's a mistake for the prime minister of any country to come to speak before Congress a few weeks before they're about to have an election.
As Netanyahu speaks in Washington, there's a fresh CBS News poll out. Manager of surveys, Jennifer DePinto.
51% call Israel an ally of the United States, up 10 points from 2011. Another 28% describe Israel as friendly. Few Americans think Israel is unfriendly or an enemy of the United States.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM. WCHL.
36 degrees, 732 WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. The Durham District Attorney's Office will seek the death penalty against Craig Stephen Hicks. Here's WCHL's Blake Hodge.
Hicks is accused of shooting and killing three Muslim college students, 23-year-old Dea Barakat, his 21-year-old wife, Yusur Abu Salah, and her 19-year-old sister, Razan Abu Salah, on February 10th in the Findlay Forest condos in Chapel Hill. Candy Clark is the administrative assistant at the Durham County District Attorney's Office. She says the notice of intent to seek the death penalty was filed on February 25th. Clark adds that the Rule 24 hearing will likely be held the week of April 6th. That consideration is a hearing before a judge in first-degree murder cases. The purpose is to determine whether the state will officially be seeking the death penalty in that particular case. Preliminary investigations from Chapel Hill Police point to an ongoing parking dispute as the motive of the shooting, but there is some belief that the shooting was motivated by religious tensions between Hicks and the three Muslim students. The FBI has opened a parallel inquiry into the incident to determine if the shooting was a hate crime. Law enforcement officials say that Hicks was cooperative in the early portions of the investigation after turning himself into authorities in Chatham County the night of the shooting. No inmates have been executed in the state of North Carolina since August of 2008. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
When Winter Storm Remus, still can't get over that name because, first of all, I love Uncle Remus, love those old stories, used to read them to my kids, and I haven't heard until this morning that the winter storm we had last week was called Remus, but apparently it was. When this winter storm dropped 8 inches of snow in the Triangle last week, local public works crews worked around the clock to clear the roads as quickly as possible. But who, if anyone, is actually responsible for the sidewalks? WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
A refreshing sound after all the weather we've had.
melting snow rushing into a drain and out of our area forever. But after one of the biggest winter storms in recent memory, some questions still linger. If you walked around Chapel Hill or Carrboro after the snowstorm, you might have found some of the sidewalks remained snowy and icy long after the roads were clear, and the same was true for a number of apartment complex parking lots as well. Who is responsible for clearing those?
Pursuant to our town code, it's actually Section 7.6, occupants of store buildings, they're responsible for clearing the sidewalk in front of their building.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle.
The words of the code really say, every occupant of a store building in front of which the sidewalk is paved with stone, brick, asphalt, or cement shall remove snow, ice, or other similar obstruction from the sidewalk at the earliest possible time and as soon as weather permits.
In addition to businesses and store owners, Lavelle says residents are also encouraged to clear the sidewalks in front of their homes. And Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt and Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens both say their towns have similar policies too. Here's Stevens.
The Hillsborough policy is for the sidewalks that are in front of your property, the property owners are required to or requested to do it. It's just a clear policy that applies probably more to shop owners when they're downtown than anything else.
That is standard procedure across the country. Generally speaking, town crews are not responsible for clearing sidewalks. That responsibility typically falls on the citizens. But the operative word there is requested, not required. All three towns have it written into their ordinances that residents and store owners are requested or encouraged to clear their sidewalks. Carrboro's ordinance says they shall clear them. But neither Chapel Hill nor Carrboro nor Hillsboro appear to impose any legal sanctions on residents or businesses who failed to do so. Lavelle says the reason for that is simple. The towns simply don't have the authority.
Because we had, you know, this happened last winter also. I think we talked at one point about whether we had the authority to require clearing, and we don't. Local authority, that kind of issue. So here we encourage it, but no, we can't. By authority, we can't require it or fine or charge.
It all comes back, in other words, to the problem of home rule. By North Carolina law, towns and counties are only able to do what the state legislature allows them to do. And in this case, Lavelle says the state has not given towns that power. Compounding the problem, she says, is the fact that a lot of sidewalks in Carrboro and Chapel Hill simply don't have storefronts or houses behind them at all, so there's no one to clear them regardless.
So in a town like Carrboro, where people are used to walking down a Weaver Street, but say between Town Hall and Weaver Street, and then on down to the, you know, Hampton Inn and East Main Street project, that's a lot of sidewalk that just doesn't get cleared.
Facebook and Twitter have been abuzz in the last 2 weeks, with residents pointing out icy sidewalks and snow-covered driveways. Lavelle says the towns can nudge businesses and residents to clear them off, but beyond that, there's not much they can do. Kleinschmidt, though, says businesses do have a strong incentive to keep their sidewalks and driveways clear.
Private property owners, even if there's a town sidewalk in front of them, do risk liability when they don't keep the walkways clear, even though they're in the town right away. So it's always in the particularly businesses' best interest to do that. It's also just a make sure customers feel welcome to come in when it's open during bad weather.
And Steven says, for the most part, people did fulfill their duty.
Most folks do a pretty good job of trying to make the way clear. You know, it was several days with that really, really bitter cold weather, but we managed to get through.
Kleinschmidt and Lavelle both say town officials in Chapel Hill and Carrboro are looking into ways to make the response even better next time. And in the meantime, while there may be a little snow left in the forecast this week, we can all take solace in the fact that last week's snow will soon be only a memory. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The top administrator of North Carolina's court system says he's retiring after a career of more than 40 years in the judicial system. The administrative office of the courts announced yesterday that Director John W. Smith will step down on May 1st. Smith's been at the post since 2009, when he was appointed by then-Chief Justice Sarah Parker. Parker retired last year and was succeeded by Chief Justice Mark Martin, who praised Smith for steady leadership and service during challenging economic times. The legislature's funding for operating the courts has fallen more than 40% since 2008 for purposes other than personnel. Smith is a former district court judge and prosecutor who started his career in the district attorney's office for New Hanover and Pender counties here in North Carolina. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Ryan Stutz here, along with Nikki Morse. And Nikki, I'm just so excited to see you sitting there, because I know you got lots of great stuff to tell us about what's happening on chapelboro.com.
tons and tons and tons of stuff, Ron. We've got a big story by Matt Oakes. Of course, Carolina's going to head to Atlanta. They're going to face Georgia Tech again, but this time in their home court, so we'll see how well they do.
Yep. And Carolina got a very impressive win against Georgia Tech last time.
Impressive is like
here in Chapel Hill.
It's such a nice word to call it. Impressive. It's most like it's more like, oh my gosh, did you see that?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, we've got a great story from D.G. Martin. He's got two books by people who already work for us. First, there is the North Carolina Secretary of Transportation, Tony Tata. He's a retired U.S. Army general and former Wake County School Superintendent. He writes under the name A.J. Tata. His latest foreign and domestic hit the bookstores last week. So,
as if nobody's going to know who that is with a last name like Tata.
I know. Try to be a little bit more anonymous, would you?
I mean, what's the purpose of that? What's the reason for that? You know,
I don't know.
It's like everybody
maybe that's
knows
his
who
real
is.
Name, and he's just going under Tony here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, he's got the book Sea of Greed, North Carolina Court of Appeals Judge J. Douglas McCullough and co-author Les Pendleton put that one out. UNC Board of Governors shuts down three academic centers. Makes us proud. The affected centers are the UNC Chapel Hill Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity, the Center for Biodiversity at East Carolina, and the Institute for Civic Engagement and Social Change at NC Central University.
Oh,
did they pick any better ones, right?
Yeah.
And in our Chapel Borough photo gallery, on to a little bit cheerier of a subject.
Thank you. It's the best of February.
All your pictures of this and all of your pictures of Snowstorm Remus.
Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox in there, too. Brer Bear.
Brer Brer.
I love those old stories, man.
I know.
I swear, when I got in here this morning and I heard an Aaron Keck story, it was called Winter Storm Remus. I thought, where did that come from? Does that come out of Aaron Keck's head? But then I found out that a listener called in and said they called it that on the Weather Channel.
Well, I haven't. I'm not yet at the age where I watch the Weather Channel. I didn't know.
Yeah, my mother-in-law used to watch that like 24/7.
I know my grandmother had it on all the time. So that's why I kind of relate to that.
My goodness.
Yeah. I mean, if our local people can't get it right, why would I tune into the national channel?
How to see it visually. You know.
I know, right?
You can visualize how they screwed up.
No offense to my friends who are meteorologists.
No offense
at all.
To our friends at the National Weather Service. They've been pretty on the money here lately.
Yeah,
they really
have.
They've been doing a good job. So, you know, there have been times in the past when I said, I think they go to the back door and they take a quarter and they flip it up in the air and says, all right, heads is going to snow, tails not. Ah, that's tails. It's not going to snow. And then we get 10 inches.
I have a friend that works for one of the local TV stations doing news or weather, and he always talks about looking out the weather window. Seriously, folks, that's what he does.
He literally looks out the window.
There is a window. You look out, and oh, my gosh, look, it's raining. We'll call that 100%, would we?
Yeah, that's right. And it really gets me, as we say, you know, we'll have a 10% chance of rain, and then it's pouring outside, you know, and I said, well, I guess that's our 10% coming down right now.
Well, you know what? That means they don't have the weather window.
Somebody put shutters on it, I guess.
Exactly.
Hey, I shudder to think what would happen if that happened all the time.
Mm.
Hey, listen, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes. Nikki, we'll be back with a look at your morning traffic on WCHL. Coming up next, Matt Bailey has today's commentary.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, you recently figured out that Franklin Street has now been in business for 25 years. No small feat given recessions in the 80s, the 90s, the tech bubble in 2001, and who will ever forget 2007?
As always, Sammy, I couldn't agree more.
You're right.
Watching the Super Bowl and hearing Katie Couric ask, what is the internet anyway, really made me think about how we managed to survive all that. In the 90s, everyone said that independent real estate firms would disappear, but the internet, as much as anything else, leveled the playing field.
As always, I couldn't agree more. When anyone, anywhere Googles Chapel Hill Real Estate, we are right there in front of them, and our website is unsurpassed in delivering what they want.
And the next thing they need, whether they live here or not, is someone who truly is connected to the community. Did I mention that we've been here for 25 years, paying attention to what matters most to homebuyers?
Kip Ballou, all business, all the time.
Franklin Street Realty, still crazy after all these years.
Wow, still crazy.
Tune in
every Saturday and Sunday to a wide range of programming, from health to business to the arts to career and financial advice. The lineup includes...
On behalf of your health, I'm Dr. Adam Goldstein.
And I'm Dr. Christy Page.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin.
Welcome to this episode of Care and Connections. This is your host, Nicole Bruno.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential show.
This is John Stillman with the Financial Safari.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper.
Welcome to Sports Focus. I'm Charlie Tuggle.
This is Sharon Hill. Welcome to Today's Business.
The Tokyo Roosevelt Program.
Good afternoon. This is Phaedra Kelly at the Art Spot at WCHL.
That's our weekend lineup every Saturday and Sunday here on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
A lot of stuff on the weekend, that's for sure. 7:45 at WCHL, we have 37 degrees.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. One of the wonderful things about being a part of the Chapel Hill Carrboro community is that you don't have to convince people of the value of education. So I'm pretty sure I don't have to sell you on the importance of fully funding our schools, including giving our teachers a long overdue raise. However, I am worried that we're not fully in touch with just how urgent the problem of teacher pay really is. I've talked with education professionals in other states who faced similar pay gaps in the past, and they tell me we may only have 1 or 2 years tops to bring our pay back in line with neighboring states before we feel a real impact in our classrooms. Now, I've heard a lot of people say we need to go to Raleigh and raise heck until state lawmakers fix this problem. But let's get real. We don't have the power to make sure Raleigh makes our schools their top priority, but we do have the power at the town and county level to make sure it's our top priority. I applaud the Board of County Commissioners for increasing the budget for our schools, and I appreciate their work to avoid raising taxes this year. Believe me, I'm no fan of tax increases, but I also fear we're not being realistic about just how big our teacher pay gap has become, or how little time we have left to fix it before we feel it. We need to increase the supplement we pay teachers in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, even if we have to raise the special district tax to do it. Is it the ideal solution? Hardly. But right now, it may well be our best solution to ensure our best teachers stay in Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. For a community that prides itself on all things local, if ever there was a time to act locally to pay our teachers, now is the time. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Are you a woman looking for prenatal care? Or are you pregnant and wondering where to deliver your baby? Come to UNC Family Medicine. We deliver our babies at the North Carolina Women's Hospital, the very first public teaching hospital in North Carolina to receive prestigious international recognition as a baby-friendly birth facility. So, if you are looking for outstanding care, look no further than UNC Family Medicine. Caring for the course of your life. Call 966-0210 for an appointment.
Where do you go from here? It's amazing what you can find in your own backyard. Whether you need a springboard to a bachelor's degree or a second chance at success, Durham Technical Community College has provided high quality, affordable, and convenient technical and career education for the citizens of Durham and Orange County since 1961. Just visit durhamtech.edu or call 919-536-7200 and find out just how far you can go. Durham Tech, do great things!
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com. Time again for traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruisers, where you're always good to go, and so is Nikki.
Looks like 40 eastbound starting to see some delays. Starting between 15501 and 54, might have had an earlier incident off to the side there. Expect some crowded lanes as well between 751 and Fayetteville Road if you're heading a little bit east of the area towards RTP. 54 eastbound delayed, Hunting Ridge Road to 40, and northbound Durham Freeway starting to fill up from Alexander Drive through Austin Avenue. Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363, or you can safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Fuel up each morning with Cruisers Fresh Brewed Beans, Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruisers. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. And it's brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. And it looks like this. It's 37 degrees. And we look for a high today of about 37 degrees. Temperatures are going to stay pretty much where they are. And we hope that you enjoy this weather, because tomorrow it's going to be double. The temperatures are going to be just about double.
Wow.
Temperatures going up to about 70 tomorrow.
Oh.
Between now and then, we might get some rain. We have a slight chance of rain or drizzle or freezing rain or freezing drizzle. Same thing for this afternoon, but temperatures remaining in the 30s. Tonight, more of the same. Temperatures staying right there in the 30s. Low tonight, about 35. And temperatures will actually start to rise a little bit after midnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, widespread fog. And then slight chance of showers and drizzle in the morning. Slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Breezy, but really warming up with a high tomorrow about 70 degrees. Yes! Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough. Online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Good food, good wine, lots of fun, too. Went to Glass Half Full last night, as a matter of fact, and had those fried Brussels sprouts.
Ooh, yum.
Love.
Where's my invite?
All right, say the word. The word is Wayne. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Pond joins us now. How's it going?
Brussels sprouts to you too, Ron.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What kind of word you got for us today, buddy?
I got a dandy for you this morning. Here we go. Speaking of this lovely warm weather that's on the way, here's a word that will take you out onto the deep blue sea, temperate climates and all of that. The word of the day is proa. Proa, P as in Paul, P-R-O-A. Quick, simple, right, straight to the point, P-R-O-A, proa. This is a noun. It's a type of sailing boat that originated in Malaysia and Indonesia. What's unusual is that you can sail this boat with either end at the front, sort of like working at a radio station, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I suppose.
No, I don't understand.
I suppose. If you get his drift, no pun intended.
Well, Nikki, Ron will explain it, I'm sure, in great, boring, painful detail. And the proa, moreover, has a large triangular sail and an outrigger. Again, just like a radio station. Up in the air, nobody knows where it's going, and let's all have fun.
Woohoo!
All right, well.
All right, guys. Well, I'm not sure if you like it or not. You're just sort of half-heartedly chuckling there, so I'll take that to the bank. Proa, P-R-O-A, a noun, a type of sailing boat, originates in Malaysia, Indonesia. What's unusual is you can sail this thing from with either end at the front.
All right.
So go in that direction, Ron. No, go in that direction.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Wayne, thank you, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you in the morning. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
I didn't think you did. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day. Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, and if you can do all that before anyone else does, then I will give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. It's 7:53. Time now for the clean joke of the day on WCHL, and here is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden feeling very lonely, so God asked Adam, "What's wrong with you?" Adam said, "I don't have anyone to talk to." God said he was going to give him a companion, and it would be a woman.
Hmm.
He said, "This person will cook for you and wash your clothes. She'll also agree with your every decision. She'll bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them. She won't even nag you and will always be the first to admit when she was wrong when you had a disagreement. She'll never have a headache and will freely give you love and passion whenever needed."
Is that the joke? Because that's really funny.
Huh? Adam asked God, wow, what will a woman like this cost? God said, an arm and a leg. Adam said, well, what can I get for just a rib? And the rest is history.
Boy, you got that right. I love it. Clean joke of the day on WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
You probably heard a lot about the UNC Dance Marathon. Now it's called something different. It's the Carolina for the Kids Foundation. Brendan Leonard has been with the organization since he was a freshman. Brendan is today's WCHL hometown hero.
We're actually the largest student-run philanthropy in the state of North Carolina, and since our founding in 1999, we have raised $4.28 million. Last year, we raised just over $551,000. We are one of the hospital's largest donors, so that's a really cool thing to say that a group of Carolina students is one of our hospital's biggest donors. Throughout the year, we work year-round to raise as much money as we can, as well as volunteering in the hospital on a regular basis, serving meals to parents and families, as well as playing in the playroom with kids. We do all sorts of things throughout the year, and it all kind of culminates in what used to be our name in this 24-hour UNC Dance Marathon, where 2,000 Carolina students pledge to stand for 24 hours, no sitting, no sleeping, to kind of sympathize with the families who don't really get much rest. So it's a really cool organization, and we do a lot throughout the year.
Brendan Leonard is yet another example of students who come to Carolina and then get involved to make this community and the world a better place. Why the name change?
We had a big discussion going on about this, and it kind of encapsulates exactly what we do in the hospital, as well as now we've kind of switched things and we're moving more towards, you know, large scale projects that we're going to be funding instead of just the small independent grants that we've been giving.
These energetic, good-hearted Carolina students have some really big goals in mind. It's so much more than just a dance marathon.
This is actually the first time that this has happened in Carolina where a student organization has done anything like this. So we have pledged $2.5 million over the next 5 years to build a 10,000 square foot general pediatric clinic in Chapel Hill, which will kind of alleviate some of the stress put on the hospital's clinic area. As of right now, it's overcrowded and they're running out of space as it is. So to be able to move some of those to a more permanent location will allow easier access for families, looking into where the best place for that to be is, not having to deal with hospital parking, which can be awful, and just have more clinic space in general. So it's something we're really excited about, and we know it's going to help a lot of families.
Brendan says he started working with the organization 3 years ago as a freshman and did so reluctantly, but now he really enjoys it and hasn't looked back. Would you like to get involved in helping the students?
Our donation site is UNCDM as in UNC Dance Marathon .convio.net. Go to carolinaftk.org, which is our general website, for more information and for more opportunities to get involved.
One of UNC's best and brightest, Brendan Leonard, a senior at Carolina, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
Well, I'm Victoria Sylvester, and I'm the Vapor Girl. The Vapor Girl, it's basically a handle that I used on online forums before I began my business when I was just interested in researching and figuring out what vaping was all about. I had ordered a kit. I'd always been interested in electronics, and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, I'd been smoking for decades, and as soon as I tried it out, I loved it, and I never went back to smoking after that. But unfortunately, I could never find any flavors that I liked, so I had to learn how to make my own e-liquids. Then I also started researching the hardware portion of the whole vaping thing. The hardware consisted of black, blue, maybe you could spot a red one, but there was nothing interesting. And so I found that there were some factories overseas that were making the hardware. So I hooked up with them and started designing some pieces that I thought would be really beautiful. Then I realized that I had to order in such a large quantity in order to get them to even take me seriously. So I thought, maybe I could run a small business, maybe sell to a few friends or something online. And that's how it all began. The phone number that we can be reached at the factory location, so 919-338-8182. I'm Victoria Sylvester, And I'm the Vapor Girl.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL. Local service, daily insights.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Actually, a rainy day and kind of chilly all day. Our high today only in the 30s. Slight chance of rain or drizzle this morning and in the afternoon. Same thing. Much cooler temperatures. Temperatures remaining in the middle and upper 30s. Tonight we're looking at cloudy skies. Rain and drizzle likely, and even a chance of rain after midnight. Temperatures actually go up a few degrees after midnight. We will get some fog to roll in here, which means we'll have to deal with fog first thing in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance of rain pretty much all day. Breezy and very warm with a high of about 70 degrees tomorrow. So temperatures going to get really warm. It's 8 o'clock.
You're listening to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill.